We begin today in Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to start reading in verse 29. The book of Matthew, chapter 24, will begin in verse 29. Now, as you're turning to that passage in your Bible, you may want to mark Isaiah chapter 13, because we're going to go back to Isaiah 13 and revisit this passage. We've looked at it before in this series of lessons about the end of time, but we need to go back there today because that passage in Isaiah 13 will really help us to understand what is being said here in Matthew chapter 24. Now remember in Matthew chapter 24 that Jesus and his disciples left the temple, and as they were leaving, Jesus' disciples showed Jesus the buildings of the temple, and Jesus said that those buildings were going to be destroyed. The disciples wanted to know when that was going to happen and what kind of signs would precede that event. So Jesus tells them that there would be false Christ, there would be wars and rumors of wars, there would be all kinds of natural disasters, people would turn against each other, the disciples of Jesus would be persecuted, the gospel would be preached in all the world. But then he said that the main sign that would definitely indicate that the fall of Jerusalem was at hand would be that the Roman army, called the Abomination of Desolation, would surround the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says then that Jesus told the disciples that if they were in the city of Jerusalem, that when they saw that sign, they were to flee the city. They were to get out. And Jesus warned that this would be the greatest period of earthly calamity and tribulation that the world had ever known or that the world would ever see. Matthew 24, verse 21. Now, as we come down to verse 29 then of Matthew chapter 24, I want you to notice what Jesus says. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, what tribulation is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the tribulation that he mentioned in verse 21. He said, "For then shall be great tribulation." Now, that's that period of suffering that took place when the Romans attacked the city of Jerusalem. In that war, there was suffering unlike anything the world had ever known or ever will know. Now, Jesus said, at the very culmination of that suffering, after the tribulation of those days, he said, "Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Now, if you read that for the first time, it sounds like that he's talking about the end of time. It sounds like that he's talking about the second coming. But that can't be. Because just a little bit after this, in verse 34, he says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." So Jesus said, whatever he's talking about in these verses happened in the first century, in the generation that he was speaking to and living among. That generation saw what Jesus is describing in these verses. And so what we have to figure out then is what he means by these words when he says that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now notice again in this verse, in Matthew 24, verse 29, that Jesus says that this will take place immediately after the tribulation of those days. So this is not something separated by hundreds of years, much less by thousands of years. He's not saying that the destruction of Jerusalem would take place and there would be great tribulation then, and then 2,000 years later, Jesus would come again and you would have the judgment day and the resurrection of the dead and the end of the world. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that this would take place, whatever he's describing in verse 29, would take place immediately after this great tribulation that he's described. And he describes it as the sun being darkened, the moon not giving her light, the stars falling from heaven, and the powers of the heavens being shaken. Now, the question that we have to raise here then is this: is Jesus speaking literally here, or is he speaking symbolically? Is he saying that the stars of heaven will literally fall, that the sun will literally be darkened, and that the moon will literally not give her light? Or is he speaking in a figurative way? is he using the sun and the moon and the stars to illustrate something about what happens on the earth? And this is where Isaiah chapter 13 helps us. In Isaiah chapter 13, I want to go back to this passage. We've looked at it previously, but now we want to tie these two together. Because what we find in Isaiah chapter 13 is the same kind of symbolic language that we're reading in Matthew chapter 24. So let's turn back to Isaiah 13, and we'll begin in verse 1. In Isaiah 13, verse 1, Isaiah writes, "The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see." What he's describing here is the judgment of God upon Babylon. Now, that was years in the future from the time that Isaiah wrote this, but I want you to notice how Isaiah describes the destruction of Babylon, the fall of this great empire. Now then, let's go down to verse 6, because he says about Babylon, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." The destruction of what or of whom? Well, that would be the destruction of Babylon in the Old Testament age. In verse 9, he said, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." God's wrath is going to be poured out on the nation of Babylon. And I want you to notice how he describes that in verse 10. In verse 10, he says, "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." Now, that kind of language is very similar to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 29, because Jesus said, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Well, Isaiah says in Isaiah 13, verse 10, that when Babylon fell, the stars of heaven and the constellations did not give their light, the sun was darkened, and the moon did not cause her light to shine. He goes on to say in Isaiah 13, verse 11, "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity." Again, he's talking about the Chaldeans here. "And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." In verse 13, he continues this figure. Now watch very carefully in Isaiah 13, verse 13. "Therefore," God says, "I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger." Now, how did all that take place? How was the earth removed out of its place? How did the sun not give its light? How did the moon cease to shine? How did the stars of heaven fall? Well, he tells us in verse 17, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it." In verse 18, "Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces. They shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children." What is he talking about here? He's talking about war. He's talking about the Medes conquering Babylon. And when the Medes and their armies conquered the nation of Babylon, that government overthrow, that downfall of this majestic nation of the Chaldeans was so great that it was like the sun not shining anymore. It was like the moon not giving her light. It was like the constellations and the stars of heaven falling. Not that the sun literally stopped shining. Not that the moon didn't give her light anymore. Not that the stars of heaven were just thrown out of the picture. Not that the earth was removed literally out of her place in relationship to the sun. You see, this passage is not describing some kind of change in nature. God is not saying that the creation would cease to function like he created it. He's saying that this war is going to be so great and the downfall of this nation is going to be so great that it's going to be as if these things in nature cease to function. And in verse 19, he says, "In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." Now, in Matthew chapter 24, you have the same kind of language used. And so what's happening in Matthew chapter 24, and let's turn back there now, is that when Jesus said in verse 29 of Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, he is describing the overthrow, the downfall of the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a powerful city. Jerusalem was a rich city. But Jerusalem is going to fall. And that fall was so great that he describes it in these terms that we see here. So Isaiah 13 is not about the end of the world. Isaiah 13 is about a war that took place many centuries ago. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 is not about the end of the world. It may sound like it, but it's not about the end of the world. It's about a great war that took place in AD 70. Now, in verse 30 and following, he continues to use these kinds of figures. In verse 30, he says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, I realize that that sounds like the end of time, but remember that just a few verses later, in verse 34, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So verse 30 was fulfilled in the generation that Jesus was speaking to. Well, that can't describe the end of time then. It must refer to Jesus coming in judgment upon the Jewish nation. And again, the book of Isaiah gives us an example of what we're talking about here. In Isaiah 19, verse 1, the Bible says that the Lord came riding on a cloud. And what that passage describes is God judging the nation of Egypt. So when God punished the Egyptians, it's described as God coming in and riding on a cloud. Well, you see, that's exactly what we have here. These are figures, these are symbols to describe and to convey to us the power of God and the judgment of God upon these people. In verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, this too is figurative. This is symbolic. He's going to send his angels, here probably messengers. The word angels can mean messengers. And they're going to come with a great sound of a trumpet. That's symbolic. They're going to gather together his elect. The elect here refers to the Christians, the church. And when Jerusalem finally fell, the Christians were not only protected in that sense, but there was unity and peace in the church, the likes of which they'd never seen before. Now listen very carefully to verse 32 beginning. Jesus said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh or near. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. What is he saying is near? The destruction of Jerusalem. And how are they to know? He said, when you see all these things, all these signs, you can know that it is near. And in verse 34, he gives the general time frame about when these things are going to take place. He said, these things will take place. All these things, verse 34, will be fulfilled in this generation. That again is why we should not take this passage and apply it to the end of time. Now, someone might say, well, if this applied to the destruction of Jerusalem, and he's not talking about the end of time here, then what can we learn from it? We can learn a great deal. First of all, we can learn that God's judgment is true, and that when a nation goes astray from him, that nation will reap what it sows, and that even happened to the nation of Israel. Number two, we see that God's word is going to hold true. Jesus said that this destruction would happen, and it did. That's why he says in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And number three, this shows the great faith of these Christians, because Jesus said these words almost 40 years before these events occurred, but the Christians believed Jesus, they trusted in what he said, and their lives were spared.